Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, I don't even know what to say. I mean, fire Matt Klentak, fire him into the sun. Get him the hell away from my baseball team. Don't let him in the building. I'm so sick of this, man. Honestly, no joke, and I hate to say this, and I could never watch a Phillies game and not, like, instinctively root for them, but I am legitimately at the point where the way this team is playing with all the injuries they have and the chances they have in the playoffs, I just don't even want them to make the playoffs. I just want Klentak assured to be gone. That is the only thing that matters to me right now, legitimately. Like, and honestly, Jack, I'm tired of watching this. This is like torture every night. It sucks. It's not fun.
Every time I sit down at 7:05 and get ready to watch a baseball game, it's just the beginning of the worst night of my life.
We choose to do it. Like, this is like, it is fun. Psychological
this is
messed
fun.
Up thing that we do to ourselves. It's awful.
And you know what? Is that they get me every time too. Like, the back-to-back-to-back tonight.
I know.
And they, like, every time they get me, and every time I just leave feeling so broken and sad. And, you know, and, oh, God. And it's like, Heath Embry's warming up. Full disclosure, James and I are recording this in the bottom of the ninth. The Phillies are down 10-6. The last time we did this was also they're wearing powder blues, and Bryce did that little walk-off thing, which is sweet. So, hey, maybe we'll get the same luck this time. I'm just so sad, and it's not even, you know, dude... They've let in 43 of 49 games. Like, they've let in 43 of 49 baseball games.
Their bullpen ERA is 7.17. It rose again tonight, Jack. 7.17 ERA.
It's the second worst bullpen in the history of baseball behind the 1930 Phillies. Like, how do you build the second worst bullpen in the history of baseball?
And again, not just build it coming into the season, but go out and trade assets for new guys, and it still is bad. It's crazy, Jack. It's crazy. It defies logic. You think by accident it couldn't be this bad?
They have more blown leads than saves this year. Or no, more blown saves than saves this year.
Saves, yeah. It's, again, think about it, like, they have 11 blown, well, I guess now tonight would be 12. So 12 blown saves tonight. Let's cut that in half and say they just won 6 of those games. That's not greedy at all. I mean, 6 of those games, they were up by, you know, 4 more runs or whatever. I mean, they just win 6 of those games. They're firmly in second place. We're excited about them heading into the playoffs. They're like, what, like 30-19? I mean, like, we're psyched. We're feeling good. You know, it's just, it sucks, man. It's such a waste. This season was such a waste. And that's why where I'm at. And I, like, again, I can't watch him and root against him, but I legitimately, deep down, do not want them to make the playoffs. Like, especially, like, first and foremost, Matt Klentak has to go. But also on top of that, like, you know what? we've waited so long to get back to the playoffs. I don't want this sham of a team to be the team that brings us back. Like, this sham of a season, this expanded playoffs. Like, it's like, you know, I don't like watching this team, Jack.
Well, it legitimately wouldn't be good for the future of the team. I mean, you know, they legit. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, man, but Mickey's working some good ABs tonight. I mean, he's worked a walk in the ninth against Edwin Diaz. I mean, come on, that's good growth. Good growth. But yeah, them making the playoffs would probably be bad. Just from the future of the team, like, because then they could say, oh, you know, this banged up team made a run for the playoffs and they got in and whatnot. And dude,
Matt Klentak's really building something here.
Right. It's all great. Like literally, if this owner wasn't such a fraud, and if he cares about winning, like however much he says he cares about winning, and he wants to get that bleeping trophy back or die trying or whatever BS he wants to spew, and he doesn't want to look like a complete fraud, even if they make the playoffs, he should be fired. I mean, he should be fired even if they make the playoffs, and everyone knows it. And the only reason he wasn't fired last year was because of his contract extension that he signed after Middleton gave all the money to Bryce Harper. Like seriously, if John Middleton is what he says he is, or what he thinks he is, and this savior of the franchise, I mean, even if they make the playoffs, it should be gone. There is no realistic circumstance in which Matt Klentak should, or and Andy McPhail. Like, it's not even Matt Klentak anymore. Obviously, McPhail should be involved in this as well.
Yeah, but McPhail isn't, I mean, he's like a ghost. He's,
I mean, we're not even sure. Yeah,
I agree. Like, absolutely get clean house, but I mean, it comes down to Matt Klentak. That guy has to go.
No, I know. And McPhail, we're not even sure his key card still works. Like,
I don't think he knows if his key card still works.
And there's the ball game. I mean, geez, whatever.
What, did you expect him to actually come back there? I mean, oh, come on, Jack.
I mean,
it is perfect that this is named High Hopes, because you are the easiest sell on the planet. You always believe. For someone who is somewhat cynical at times and, you know, has an edge to his humor and whatnot, you with the Phillies are such a friggin' sucker. It's hilarious.
I don't care. I don't care. I love them. I
do too. I see them for what they are. I think it's that I grew up with the Phillies being, you know, the worst team in the history of sports, and I had a lot longer and more of that than you did when you were growing up. That could be part of it, maybe, but
yeah, I mean, I grew up during the best run in franchise history.
I know.
I've only experienced good Phillies, which is a disaster for the rest of my life. no, just, I don't know, you know, and I, like, because honestly, when I watch the games, I'm like, oh, here it comes and whatnot. And like, people are like, oh, you're so, like, you know, negative or pessimistic. It's like, no, dude, like, I just love them. I just love this team. And I just feel so just disappointed and sad, because like, if they didn't have the legitimately the second worst bullpen. So they're going to go from the fourth best second half bullpen ERA in baseball last year to the second worst bullpen in the history of the sport a year later. I think we should just point. You think Andy points that out in his postseason press conference?
Oh yeah, he's probably telling it to all the people at his retirement home.
Yeah, down in Arizona or something. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard to sit down every night and get a lead, which, again, they've had a lead in 43 of 49 of their games this year. And just lose again and again and again. And knowing that if they had not the second worst bullpen in the history of the sport, that they could be a legitimate contender. Obviously, the Dodgers are unbelievable, and they're definitely a better roster. But there's NLCS potential with everything on this team besides the bullpen, and they're going to limp into the playoffs. They're going to play.
Maybe, Jack.
Maybe.
I mean, at
whatever.
This point,
whatever. I know. I got it.
Seriously.
I know.
And again, Hopefully so. Hopefully this just keeps rolling. I mean, at this point, just root for them to just crater. Get Klentak out of here. It's my only thing. I don't care about anything else with the Phillies right now other than Matt Klentak being gone. That's how strongly I feel about it. I might not, once the season's over and we ride this out with the High Hopes listeners, who not only would we never lie to, we would never do anything to hurt or anything like that. But I might go on strike from the High Hopes podcast until Matt Klentak is fired after the season's over. I'll ride out the season, but I'm so angry, Jack.
I wish I could talk you back into him, but
no, you don't think so. You don't feel that.
No. And it's like, you know, you try and honestly, like, maybe a month ago, like they felt like a good baseball team.
I know we titled a podcast not too long ago, the Phillies are a good baseball team, and that's okay.
Yeah,
they're not a good baseball team.
No,
that's the thing, is that, like you said, they are a good baseball team in two out of the three areas of baseball, but that one area is so horrendously, disastrously, historically bad that they are not a contender. Like, that alone makes them not a contender. That's how bad it is.
I know. I watch it every night. I know. But no, I sit there and I put on my clown face mask and just look like an idiot. I feel like an idiot every night. I feel like an idiot.
I know it does. It does really. Again, it does feel like some form of weird elective torture that we put ourselves through. Like, it is. And again, especially, you know, again, a night like tonight, a perfect example, a nice 6-3 lead. And you just sit there knowing, waiting, expecting. And it just sucks, man. It sucks. Brandon Workman. Can we never see that guy again? Can we please just drive him away somewhere, put him on an airplane to anywhere, like, give him his money and let him walk away? Never, ever, ever pitch him again in a Phillies game. Can we do that, Jack?
He might be worse than Chad Qualls, which I didn't think was possible, but it's Qualls-esque. I just hate him. I hate him. And it might not even be just sports hate. Like, it might just be actual hate. Like, I might just hate him. Just straight up hate him. Oh, he's so bad. Every time, like, even Phelpsy had a good outing tonight. I mean, he struck out, what, two or three? I mean, whatever. Phelpsy was just about to turn a corner. And then Workman goes to work, and it's just like, oh, Brandon Nimmo, who sucks and is like the biggest loser in baseball, it hits an absolute tank off him. And it's like, oh, here we go. Like, seriously, man, why do you have to suck every single time you get in? Like,
why does Joe Girardi keep putting him in these spots? Well, I mean, what is Brandon? I know we don't have anything. I know, but, like, just pitch JoJo. Pitch somebody. I mean, like, can JoJo just pitch every inning for the bullpen? Can we have? Has any one man ever been a one man bullpen? Because I want JoJo to be that, Jack.
Yeah, well, especially because the lefties that came in tonight. I mean,
yeah, it was a weird spot.
The lefties were up in the ninth.
I know he doesn't have a lot of options, but Brandon Workman can't see high leverage situations. That's the point. Like, not that anyone else can. I get it. Like, this bullpen sucks ass. They all suck. I get it. I'm not blaming Joe Girardi on a macro scale. I just think tonight specifically, and just in general, like, I don't know, put Workman in the sixth. I don't know. It just feels like he's always coming in big spots.
Yeah, I mean, let him try to get into a rhythm. I mean, he sucks anyway, but, you know, at least try to get him some not high leverage innings and see if he can get some jobs done before just throwing him back out there. It's like Girardi thinks because he was in the AL East that he just knows how to get big outs. And I mean, apparently before he got here, he knew how to get big outs. But ever since he's been here, I think I saw the stat tonight. He has one clean inning in his whole entire Phil's tenure. Like, I think he has one clean inning. Just wow. Just one.
I don't know.
I just feel so beaten down by this team and broken.
I didn't even want to record this pod. Like, I didn't want to. It's 11:30 at night. I'm tired. I'm angry. I hate this team. I don't have, like, anything really relevant to add other than I want Matt Klentak gone so badly. Like, it just all feels, honestly, it all feels somewhat pointless till that dude's gone, till there's a new direction for this franchise, till we can have some sort of belief that the franchise is in capable hands. And again, look, the owner himself is still highly questionable at best, but at least maybe we could have a smart person running the team. And I just, it all feels pointless, Jack. The whole thing feels pointless right now.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't like Klentak at all, and there's going to be some very big consequences for the Phillies if Matt Klentak is not fired this offseason, directly from the High Hopes podcast. If he's not gone this offseason, the High Hopes podcast and its fans and the real fans of this baseball team are going to have something to say about it, because I can't sit through another year of this and feeling like my team is a rudderless ship with someone at the helm that doesn't know what he's doing, hasn't made really an interesting move or unearthed any gems, and has built the second worst bullpen in the history of baseball, which should be repeated and maybe put on a billboard outside of Citizens Bank Park until he's fired. And listen, I think Klentak stinks too, but, like, you know, it's a self-imposed tax, and John Middleton willfully went into the season and didn't let him spend on real bullpen pieces. And I understand they got scared away from David Robertson injury and whatnot and spending money on bullpen pieces, but ultimately, like, it's one, Klentak not being able to find any gems for the bullpen, and when he does try to find people, it's guys that throw, you know, low 90s and don't really have any interesting stuff. But it's also the owner who is not letting his team spend its kind of way out of it, and signing off on this bullpen. I mean, John Middleton could have stepped in and be like, all right, no, seriously, go get some real bullpen pieces. But he signed off on it because he's a big phony. And
yep. And you know where I stand.
I know.
On that, Jack.
I know. It's just
fraud, Middleton.
Yeah, it's just like. But whatever.
I'm going to bring that effing trophy back.
Yep. I'm a Philly guy.
All right, big dog.
Yeah, I'm a Philly guy. I wrestled at the Haverford School. You know me.
Yeah. Mr. Cigar is very strong. I might start using Mr. Cigar more.
Nah, Cigar Man. Come on, it's not Mr.
Cigar Man. Excuse me. That was a bad job by me. Cigar. I'm tired, Jack.
Well,
Cigar Man.
Well, good thing you didn't just watch. Like, they should have swept the Mets. Like, they should have swept the Mets.
Yeah, both losses were gut punch. They had 6-3 leads late in both losses, literally.
Yeah,
like, and, actually, like, come on.
And you know, you see some people being like, "Oh, worst loss of the season." It's like, this is just another day.
Oh, yeah. So many. So again, like, you can rattle them off. Like tonight, last night, the Gene Segura running over the mound at in the Orioles game. Both of those games against the Braves, certainly the one, the Saturday one before the Nap play was, oh my God, the Toronto 7-0 game, the 6-0 game the other night. Like, there's so many. It's honestly, look, this team has been, and you and I have done a lot of these pods because they've been pretty good at giving us these hard to believe gut punch losses the last 3 years, really. But the amount of them that they have packed in to 48 games or whatever it is, 49 games, whatever they're at right now, 49, it's unbelievable, Jack. It is so much pain in such a small portion of games. It really is astounding.
Oh, dude, thank God it's not 162. I mean,
the whole Marlins series, I should have said that too, but certainly the doubleheader. I mean, the 6-0 game, that was never one we should have won, but
I mean, imagine
the 7-5 one or whatever it was the worst.
Imagine if this was 162. Like, what would this be like if it was 162? And And JT is not playing this weekend, according to Girardi. So
sure, yeah. You know what? Good. Lose out. Lose out, buddy. I mean, look, the four against the Nationals, they've obviously dominated the Nationals here, but the Blue Jays are way better than them. The Rays are way better than them. So yeah. Look, you hope the Rays don't have anything to play for if you are rooting for the Phillies to get into the playoffs. But well, even the Rays.
The Rays clinched tonight.
At 50%, will still beat the Phillies. It's just... Yeah, I'm so out on this team right now. Jack. I'm so out. Yeah. And it's such a shame, too, because, like, tonight could have been, like, not, like, a super fun pod. I mean, there's so many issues with this team right now, from the Rees injury to the Arrieta injury to the Howard injury to this to that. Gene gets hurt tonight, like, stayed in. But, you know, and tonight, though, still, we had the back-to-back-to-back, the Harper freaking monster shot off the third deck, just to... one of the hardest hit balls I've ever seen in that ballpark, just a rope. You know, there were fun stuff to talk about, Moniak coming up, but it's just like, I don't care about any of it right now. I just don't. I hate it. It's sucked all the fun out of this team has just sucked all the fun out of baseball. This is such a bummer. What a bummer of a pod. I'm very sorry.
Because
beautiful, wonderful, amazing High Hopes listeners, I apologize. I just got to be real in how I feel, and this is how I feel.
That Harper home run was like what the
amazing.
I would say the third furthest ball I've seen hit at CBV.
So the Bonds one.
Bonds, Howard off Mussina.
Howard, yeah. There was one Mike Stanton one that was up there too. I think he was Mike then. I still call him Mike. How funny is it that I still call him Mike Stanton? It's a bad job by me. There was one Giancarlo Stanton one there that went into Ashburn Alley that I would put up there too. But yeah, those three definitely stand out to me.
I don't know. I don't know why I do this. Maybe it's just because I don't know. Do you? I feel like I only count lefty home runs as the furthest I see. Like, I don't really.
I will agree with you. Lefty home runs are way better than righty home runs. It's not even close. Like, this, I mean, it's such a sweeter swing. Lefty swing is such a sweeter swing, especially the best ones, like the Griffies. It doesn't get prettier than that, you know?
Yeah. Is there really a pretty right-handed swing?
No. No.
I mean,
no.
Like, I think Manny had a pretty right-handed swing. Tatis,
he had a
Machado.
Great swing, but, like, Manny did. He kind of had that hand thing at the end that was cool, but, like, not many, to be fair. Like, and you can think of so many left-handed swings where you're like, wow, what a swing.
It's such a weird sport. It's such a,
I know.
It's such a weird sport. All right. Yeah, so the Phillies, everything's fine.
All right, let's...
Yeah, let's just get through everything and...
I mean, like...
We'll
what
try.
Do you want to talk about? Let's talk about Moniak. How about
let's talk about Mick.
Let's brighten it up a little bit. Mick, our guy, friend of the pod, hell of an interview, by the way. He was awesome when we had him on, like a real good talker. Mick, how you feeling? I should have started this podcast talking about Jackie Sources.
Yeah,
newsbreaker Jack Fritz.
Listen. All I do is break minor baseball transactions. And if you want that kind of insight, I mean, some are saying I'm the Woj of that, but. And
stop,
I don't.
Stop making me laugh so loud. My daughter's sleeping.
I don't want to take a direct shot, but if Jim Salisbury could step his game up, because there's a new dog in town. yeah. So listen. The sources were swirling on
hashtag Moniak season.
Eyeball. So inside, I don't know if this is inside baseball, just inside Jackie Source's brain, is that I was like 99% sure he was coming up, like had actually checked with some people and whatnot. But that was the old, oops. Maybe not today. We'll see next week or something. Like it was the I don't really want to break it in case I'm wrong thing.
Yeah, it was the cover. You could have been like, I was just watching Moniak highlights or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a way out. It was not sources. Mickey
right.
Moniak is being held up by the Phillies.
Right. But then as soon as it went down, it was like, oh, that's what he was talking about. But
I saw the phrase credit, or Jack Fritz had it first on Twitter, and I almost spit out whatever was in my mouth in the moment.
Yeah, and I don't want to rip T-Mac, because T-Mac is a friend and whatnot, but, you know, the Jim Salisbury had this before everyone else. Well, I would like to say I had it 2 hours before Salisbury. So if we could please give credit where credit's due, even though I didn't fully commit to him being called up, but I was 99% sure he was coming up. So, but yes, Mickey is up. And you know, it's been a journey. You know, it's really a shame he got picked number one overall. And honestly, like, I don't remember like this, like, less buzz about a number one overall pick in any sport debuting, being called up. But, listen, he was doing some things at AAA that were really interesting. He's starting to flash and pop. I mean, he did almost hit a ball out tonight in his first at bat, which was awesome. And I think there's a future major league quality center fielder in there. And I think he's going to live up to being the number one pick in the draft? No, because he probably shouldn't have been the number one pick in the draft, but there was never a consensus that year anyway, even though it probably should have been Senzel. And it's not like Senzel's been amazing, but I legitimately like Moniak, and I was actually surprised tonight. Like, I was surprised by some of the at bats, because the one thing that had been the major cause for concern for most of his minor league career was he would chase out of the zone. He wasn't great on pitch recognition, and I thought for the most part tonight he was pretty good with pitch recognition. So and it's just exciting seeing the young dudes come up, and just being able to see him get up after everything he's kind of gone through of pressure being the number one overall pick and whatnot. And let's see if he has something. He's coming up here with not really huge expectations, which I think could be a good thing. And I hope they give him some starts down the stretch, and he should give them plus defense if they want to play him in left field, and could be a solid defender if they play him in center field. So, yeah, let's see what the kid has.
Yeah, look, he's only 22.
I know.
It's, you know, he was the number one pick, but it was so long ago that I think, you know, not the high ups listeners, but I think a lot of people out there don't realize that he's still so young comparatively. Look, again, Alec Boehm is up in the majors and crushing, but he's 24, like, taken years after Mickey Moniak. Moniak was a young high schooler when drafted, and you know, I think his body takes time to fill out. Like, he's finally starting to have the size he needed. So yeah, look, I think that, like you said, he's not going to be a superstar or anything like that, but he could be a major league player. And I totally agree with the sentiment of your point that, you know, it is a shame for him that he was the number one overall pick, other than, of course, the money that comes with that. But because there was a lot of pressure placed on him, and it was really a draft where, you know, and look, the results have proven it out. I mean, none of the guys, you know, none of the first rounders have really turned into anything special so far. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a real stacked class. And, you know, of course, just the Phillies luck that the year that they're the worst team in the league, they get, you know, a crap class. But I'm with you. I think if there weren't all that pressure and a lot less expectation, I think Moniak could turn into a solid player for the Phillies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, the second through whatever, the rest of the draft is probably actually better than the first round. I mean,
yeah.
Bieber, Alonso, Saval. Yeah, like,
probably way better. Yeah. It's way better.
Yeah. Nate Lowe.
None of those type of guys in the first round that are like the bona fide stars.
No, like Gavin Lux has a chance, Ian Anderson. But, yeah, and listen, he's not – like, I don't – when you hear number one overall pick, you always think, like, superstar, has to be a superstar. Like, he's probably going to be, at best, a starting caliber major league center fielder that could maybe hit 20 homers. And best case scenario, I think for me, like, my best case scenario for Moniak is 280, 330. If he can hit 280 and have a 330 OBP and hit 20 homers, like, I'm really happy with that. And he honestly, he kind of is following a similar track that Nimmo took. I mean, Nimmo was the same kind of thing. He was the 13th pick in the draft. Took a little bit to get up. But the one difference there, well, I think Moniak's a better defensive player than Nimmo is. But Nimmo always had the great eye. Moniak hasn't really shown that coming out throughout the minor leagues. But I think there's a good player in there. And not really a fair test, you know, coming up tonight. I mean, he goes from Lugo, who surprisingly got shelled, to Familia, to Edwin Diaz, and what was it, Chase and Shreve in the middle there? So, yeah, no, it's, I don't know. I'm excited. After his interview with us, you know, I was already kind of in, and I think you were, like, kind of in, but after he talked to us, it was like, ah, this is our dude. Like, we just, yeah.
He was great. Yeah. Like, he was... Like, no offense to the other guys we had, because they were all awesome. He was definitely the best interview that day that we had with multiple guys. And, again, I thought just a great interview, period. Like, had fun, was loose, you know, messed around with us a bit. Like, I thought he was a great talker. I was really impressed with him from that perspective, for sure.
Yeah, and honestly, like, his swing just looks more powerful. I mean, when he got drafted, it was very single, you know, double approach, buddy.
Yeah, well, that first at bat, it looked like he had a chance to kind of, he just kind of missed it looked like, you know, a little bit more on that gets out.
Yeah, exactly. So, listen, I'm excited. I hope they give him some starts down the stretch here. I know he got caught up because of the injuries and stuff, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to see what we can get out of your former number one overall pick that was starting to really show some things up in the alternate sites. So, fun stuff all around, but that's about...
Oh, yeah, all around.
Oh, all around. All around. Now, if they could draft some, you know, bullpen pieces.
More guys. All right, what else you got? Because I'm out.
You're out?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not leaving. I'm just out of things I care about.
All you've done is be sad the whole podcast.
I know, but I brought up Mickey Moniak. That's something. What am I supposed to be excited about right now? I mean, the Phillies are in free fall. It's just every night, as we talked about, is no fun to watch. It's just like, I don't know what to be excited about. I'm excited about Matt Klintak being fired. That's that thrills me, Jack. The prospect of it, the thought of it is, it elates me. Like it's my fuel. It's my fire, you know. But you know, until that happens, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm a little disappointed.
Well, only 11 more games.
Please, hopefully.
But it's okay. I mean, don't be too down. I mean, Arrieta said today.
No, look, Arrieta, I'm going to watch it before we get to say.
Arrieta said today he'll be back for the playoffs.
Oh, terrific. Oh, my God.
If you had to watch one playoff game, would you rather have Velasquez out there or Arrieta?
Arrieta. And that's what? So sad.
Give me Vinny.
How about the fact that tonight was like a 4-plus-hour game and Vinny wasn't even starting it? What are the odds on that?
I mean, aren't they all 4 hours these days?
I know. This one felt particularly long, though.
Well, good thing it wasn't painful, too.
Oh, man. They lost 2 of 3 to the Mets, man. They lost 5 of 7 to the Marlins.
They lost 2 of 3 to the Mets when they should have swept.
Yeah.
And Bryce Harper hit the, like, literally a moonshot. Mm. An absolute moonshot. I don't know.
So what else you got?
What else do you want?
a new baseball team to root for?
No. You don't want a new baseball team.
What else do I want? To be a Rays podcast?
Well, they should have drafted Nick Bitsko.
Yeah, probably should have.
No,
I like Mick.
I like
Mick.
Like Mick. Yeah. I like Mick Abel. But let's see. What did I have written here? Did you know that Zach Wheeler's fastball is the third most valuable pitch in baseball this year?
I did not. That is a really interesting stat. Thank you for bringing it to my attention.
I have
thoroughly enjoyed the Zach Wheeler experience.
I have no, like, I know a good amount about advanced stats and that stuff. I have no idea how they
qualify that.
Yeah, pitch value. Like, is it average?
It's hard.
Is
I mean, it's average? A lot of data. It's, you know, taking the results, I would guess, based on how hard balls are hit off of it, the amount of balls hit off it, the amount of swings and misses off it. Like, I bet you they take all that stuff into account. And there's some sort of algorithm that calculates it all and that tells you what pitch is the most valuable. But again, it's, you know, while highly scientific, also potentially inexact, you know?
Well, which is mostly every...
Yeah, exactly. It's that, yes.
I mean, once again, another Clint Sack signing with Zach Wheeler. Actually, in all seriousness, shocked it wasn't Madison Bumgarner.
I know. It's a miracle. Maybe it was Wheeler just coming to him and saying, "Hey, man, my wife wants to live in the area. Give me market price, and I'll come." Because how else does that get done?
Yeah, but I mean, hey, I'm very glad Zach Wheeler's here. I mean,
me too.
Better than I expected. And yep. I know he's not striking guys out, but honestly, I thought it was going to come back to get him, but if it's all for him trying to last deeper into games, I think that's massive. And also, Joe, buddy, I feel like everything Joe has done this week has just been wrong, which is how
it's been a bad week for him.
Like in theory, the decisions were probably fine, but they just backfired every single time, which was the essence of the Gabe Kapler era. Like, why'd you pull Wheeler last night? You know, to get to Adam Morgan. Like, really? We got to...
I mean, especially after letting him come out for the inning. It made no sense.
Well, and it's like, man, I get you want to save dudes, but there's 2 weeks to the playoffs and you're 500. You're one game over 500 at that point. Like can we just push him a little bit? I mean, whatever. It's all BS anyway. Just...
What else you got?
Ugh, whatever.
That's what I've been saying this whole time. Whatever.
But just let Wheeler finish the inning. Like, do you really? Like,
I agree.
But why are we trying?
Preaching.
Who's in a rush to get to this bullpen? And you're telling me that Zach Wheeler with 98 in his back pocket, still in the eighth, like is not a better option than Adam Morgan? Like, what is that? What is that? Even Blake Parker let us down tonight. I mean, Blake Parker was becoming like someone that I could trust with my life, and for him to pull that tonight really hurt.
I wouldn't trust him with a sandwich that I was excited to eat.
Oh,
but
come
yes,
on! Stop.
He's been good compared to the rest of the crap we have to watch. The first time he gets into a high leverage situation, it's like,
Blake.
I'm turning on everybody, Jack.
Well, what about
JoJo Romero? I'm not turning on you, JoJo. I love you, man. I love you.
Is that the gift of the year?
It's the best. I saw it when it happened. I was like, did he just do what I think he did? That's awesome. Like, it was so intense. He's great.
I mean,
it had to hurt. No way that didn't hurt.
He is certified a Jack Fritz future postseason performer.
So, Lock it in.
He's going to be clutch.
Again, it feels like he's the only guy coming out of that bullpen who thinks he's going to get outs. It feels like he's the only guy, and he is. But I feel like he's the only one who comes out thinking, I'm about to get some guys out. Like, I feel like everyone else comes in and is like, oh, crap. I hope I get these guys out.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there. I guess my final thing is so I saw Nola the other day in
where, like out and about?
Yeah, in Philly by my apartment. And
look at you, Aaron, and you, best buddies. What'd you say to him? Did you say anything?
No, I was in my car and I was just like geeking out. I was
oh my god, that's Aaron Nola.
Yeah. And you know, I could have rolled down the window and said something like, I didn't know. But then again, see, I don't know how to handle myself when I see, like,
I know
people
I
that
know.
I like, famous people. You know, I froze when I saw Hoskins like a month ago. I froze when I saw Rich Doobie at the Hall of Fame. All these superstars.
Rich Doobie has never nor will never be called a superstar. Rose when he saw Rich Dude. Who are you? I remember when that happened, and I still am in awe of it.
You
should have rolled down your window.
Yeah,
and
but what
yelled,
do I? What do I say?
All
like,
I want in the world is to see you pitch in a playoff game, Aaron.
Here's
it'd be the truth. You would actually be telling him the truth.
Here's what I would have yelled. Did you have you learned to pair your changeup with your two seamer? And is that the main reason for your success this season?
Here's what you would have yelled. Hey, do you have Nick Pivetta's number? And if so, will you tell him that I miss him?
I would have said, hey, Aaron, why did you personally let Nick Pivetta down? Do you think he would have handled that well? I saw him and like,
oh my God,
I didn't want to say anything. Cause like, I don't know. I kind of just, my general philosophy is let people, you know, just enjoy their day out with whatever. But he was sitting outside at a restaurant. And he was kind of opening himself up for people to be like, yo, Knowles or whatever. Like, I feel like if I would have rolled my window down, I would have said, like, yo, Ace, or whatever. But then I would have felt like a loser saying...
All right, I was just about to say, in hindsight, it's good that you did not roll your window down.
Yeah, I think...
If that's what was going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah, because that's what would have come out of my mouth was, yo, Ace. And then I would have just sounded like an idiot. So I think I made the right decision.
And then he would have been talking to someone in the locker room and been like, yo, man, some idiot rolled down his window, D-bag and said yo Ace, what a loser.
Yeah, or he would have been like, yo, I saw that Jack guy.
Yeah, probably what I said.
That's always tweeting about us, and
I think you have an inflated opinion of your belief that the Phillies know who you are.
What? I mean, listen.
Right. Are we done here? I think this podcast has jumped the shark for the evening.
You ask anyone in that clubhouse who broke the Moniak news.
Oh, God. You got anything else?
Hey, we got a doubleheader against the Jays tomorrow.
Oh, my God. There's nothing I want to do less than watch two Phillies games in one day.
And one of them's a Velasquez start.
Oh.
What are we bullpenning the second game?
I don't know what else they're going to do. Yeah, they're bullpenning. I mean, just kill me now. Oh, my God.
We got Ross Stripling game one. Yeah, right. We're winning that game.
Oh, God. All right.
Nice game two. Oh, no, it's Eflin versus Ray. We're all right.
Oh, winner.
Listen, I'll say it right now.
Listen.
Phils are a lock in game one. Also, how can anyone mention worst loss of the season when the 7-run debacle against the Jays?
I know. And the Segura one's worse too, for sure. The Segura running over the mound and missing that pop up, that's worse too.
Dude, I swear to you, I forgot about it.
Oh, buddy, how could you forget that one? Oh, that one was I've never seen a loss like that before. Like, what? I was like, what happened? How did that just happen?
I think the one that broke me was the Marlins last Thursday, the 6-3.
That one was tough, man.
Listen, one day we'll look back and laugh.
Oh, yeah, you think so?
I'm sorry, High Hopes listeners. I wish we could give you some positivity, but
I think they're feeling just how we're feeling.
I know.
If I had to guess.
Yeah. I don't think people are tuning into this podcast for like
No one's listening anywhere anyway, so it's all good.
All right. Two more tomorrow. Two more. We'll be back Sunday.
Can't wait. It's going to be super fun.
12 o'clock.
All right. We'll see you guys later. He's Fritz. I'm Seltzer. See ya.